the Lord. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalm chapter number 34. It's amazing because Brother Tim sang the songs that he sang. Then Brother Horace came up here and he talked about the master of the sea. One of the questions that was asked when Jesus was there with those disciples, when the storm came up, the words was this: Master, careth not that we perish. And Jesus turned and said, oh, ye little faith. He wanted them to see the big picture, didn't he? A lot of times we have a micro vision of God when we go through troubles and storms, when it seems like that everything around us is spinning in chaos and we can't get our feet on the ground. And I don't know how many people's ever been there before, if you've ever felt that way before, but even in a pastor's life, we oftentimes feel like, God, if you don't help me, I don't know how it's going to work out. And if you don't believe it, ask Pastor Dodd. I mean, you know me, but ask another pastor and they'll tell you the truth. We're not exempt. But the psalmist, I've actually preached out of Psalm 34 several times. And a couple of months ago, I really took it and used it for several different Wednesday nights. But I want to take the time to read part of it. And then I want you to pray for me that God would use me tonight to preach this word. Psalm 34 and verse 1. I will bless the Lord when things are good and nothing's wrong in my life and everything in my life is perfect and wonderful and sweet. And no, that's not what he said. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That means you have got a vision of who God is. Your heart is fixed, as Psalm 108 says. And you can worship Him. And you can praise Him. Not because necessarily because your situations are what we would say without troubles or without any type of storm in your life. But we magnify Him and we praise Him because our hearts are fixed on Him. And we know in whom we have believed. Verse number 2 says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me. Hallelujah. That's like that song they sing sometimes. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. Verse 5 says, they looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Look in verse 6. The poor man cried. In David's the vision of himself, in his looking at himself, the condition of a man who is without God is poor. A sinner is poor. They may have all the money in the world, but they don't have what we have, the riches of God. In this we see again where the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. We can say amen right there. I cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard me. I want to say that again for somebody. I cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard me. How many times in our lives have we wept? Have we begged? Have we pleaded? Things are not changing. Situations are the same. But yet the psalmist admonishes, and the psalmist is a guarantee that he said that he cried to the Lord and He heard him. Look at the latter part of that verse. And saved him out of all of his troubles. I want to talk to you tonight about delivered from trouble. Father, we love you tonight and we do praise you and we thank you, God. We thank you, Father, because this is your service, not mine. It's not about me. Lord, I don't even want to be seen. Just let your word go forth and let your word go onto good ground. That, God, that it would bring forth a harvest in due season. Let it fall, God, on not the wayside or the stony or the thorny. But, God, let it fall on the good. Lord, I pray for that one that's online or that one that's here in this room tonight. That, God, no matter where they've been, no matter what they're going through, Lord, as again, as Psalm 108 says, my heart is fixed. It's established. It is not turning away from you, Lord. God, no matter what we go through on this life, Lord, we're always going to be susceptible and have an element of storms and situations that come our way. But God, we need to talk about you tonight because we know, God, that the psalmist said here in the verse number 6, that this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and the Lord delivered him out of all of his troubles. So, Father, take these words tonight and speak to the heart of someone in this room. And, Lord, we honor and praise and thank you, God, for your blessings upon us in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. As we start this message, what I feel like the Lord has laid in my heart today, when we think about trouble, sometimes it's like grapes. They come in bunches. Sometimes it seems like that one thing happens after another. When I begin to look up this word trouble in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, it means several things in the Old and the New Testament. When we think about the word trouble, it means adversity, which is brought on by an adversary. We know we have an adversary, the devil. It means to vex, and Brother Scott is doing a wonderful job on Sunday morning talking about the life of Job. I'm not going to go there, but when I read this word vex, I thought about Job because it seemed like that one situation after the next happened in Job's life. But it goes on and it talks about trouble could mean distress or to take pains, such as affliction or distress, that is a disturbance that leads us to a almost continual state of anguish, turmoil, strife, to a point of even being terrified. But our world today, when we look around today, we can certainly look and tell that our world's in anguish, our world's in turmoil, our world is in a bad situation if you look around at the world today. But my friend, I know that in a lot of ways we know the Bible's going to play out. And I know the Bible's going to be fulfilled. And I didn't come to do a prophecy class by no means, but maybe we can talk about that a little bit later on. But I came to just admonish you this evening that even in the days and the hours that it seems as if trouble is all around us, that Brother Tim, we've got to have our heart fixed on Him. All of these things this evening is a part of the things that will happen in the last days simply because it was even told to Paul the Apostle to young Timothy, even in the day that the Bible was written, that there was things going on then that Paul even warned young Timothy about. Which again, when I read it, because I know what Paul was telling Timothy, because he told him to watch and endure hardness and watch and endure afflictions. But yet he tells us of the things that will be happening even in the days of Paul the Apostle and the young evangelist Timothy, because Paul told him to do the work of an evangelist. But he says this, know also that in the last days, dangerous times shall come, perilous times. Then he says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. This is in 2 Timothy 3, by the way. Verse number 3 picks up and he says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of that is good, those that are good, excuse me, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And then Paul says to Timothy, from such, turn away. When you begin to look through this, it is mentioned several different times throughout this scripture. But yeah, if you read all the way down through there, he gets into verse number 13. Verse number 13 almost gives us a picture and a portrait of the day that we're living in. When you look in verse number 13, he says, but evil men, and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But yet, even in all of this, even in all of the troubles, and even in all of the things that Paul was warning Timothy about, verse 14, he comes in and he tells him at the opening part of verse number 14, he says, but continue. If there's anything that I could say to us tonight, even in the days of perplexity, even in the days of trials, even in the days of pain, even in the days of distress, even in the days of affliction, even in the days of disturbances and strife and turmoil, and even people being terrified, I just feel like today that God would have me to come by just long enough to tell us that we can put our confidence in God. It's no time to give up. It's no time to be discouraged, because as we sing these songs that we sang just a few minutes ago, soon and very soon, my friend, we're going to see the King. And Paul told Timothy here in this verse, but continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He tells Timothy to continue to live for Christ, even continue on your walk with God, and to be faithful even in the midst of trouble. May I remind us tonight that trials will come, believe it or not, that will challenge our very faith. The trials will come, and we'll never know what kind of faith we really have until we actually go through a storm that will test our faith. During those times, we will become so discouraged that we feel as if we can't put one foot in front of the other. But we must remind ourselves that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what are we to do in the days of troubles? What are we to do when it seems like that trouble is on every hand? How do we manage our emotions? Wow, that's a good one. How? Because we are emotional people, and we live often by what we're feeling. Amen? If we feel good, God feels good. If we're doing good, God's doing good. But on the contrary, if we're not doing good, God's not doing good. If we're not feeling good, God's not feeling good. That's sometimes how it works with us. But yet we've got to understand that there are times in the lives of the servants of men that their days were not always easy days. They were not always days that was filled with butterflies and rainbows. There were days that was hard. I don't know what's ahead. I have no idea what's ahead. I can tell you what the Bible says. I can tell you what people are saying. I can tell you a little bit about what's on the news. Not much. You're going to have to go to somebody that eat, drinks, lives prophecy every day to find out exactly where we're at on God's timetable. Because I don't know exactly where we're at on God's timetable. And I was reading this today, and I don't want to get into it for the sake of the message, but I do know that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be pestilence, there's going to be diseases, there's going to be all of these things. But the Bible admonishes us to be found faithful. So in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of trouble, how are we going to be delivered from the troubles of this life? Well, there are several things that I wanted to talk to you about this afternoon for the next few minutes. First of all, I want us to go back to the Old Testament. The Old Testament has a lot of good, I don't want to use the word stories, but history of the events that happened in the lives of individuals that God delivered out of their troubles. When we begin to look in the book of Joshua, I know that you know this very well. So how are we to, I guess, remain stable? That's the best word I can think of for a moment. How can this affect our lives, and how can we be living in a world that it seems like with so many uncertainties, but yet find our place in God? First of all, when I begin to read over this and read this today, the several things come to my mind. I want to read this to you, and I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm just going to read parts of it. But this is in Joshua chapter number 1. It talks about when Moses was dead. Moses' successor was Joshua. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, look in verse number 2. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon to the great river, the river Euphrates, to the land of the Hittites, the great sea toward the going down of the sun, which would be in the east, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now, that's the first thing that I wanted to mention here tonight is found in that verse. So how are we going to be delivered from trouble in a troubled world? It's found in God's word, yes, but that's what I wanted to emphasize. We're going to talk about some R's, the alphabet R. Okay? So the first one is, when you look at this, if we're going to be able to be delivered and we're going to be able to prosper, if you will, in a world that is filled with trouble, here's the first thing, is we've got to be able to rest, R-E-S-T, in God's word. The word of God is forever established in heaven. But in this, we must also trust in God's assurance that God is for us and not against us. When we have the assurance, before Joshua could go forward, before Joshua could understand, everything that Joshua had his security in was no longer there. Some men trust in horses. Some men trust in chariots. But there's days in our lives where we realize, hey, I don't have anywhere else to turn but to God. Hello? And to believe it or not, God was trying to get you there the whole time. He was trying to get you to that place. Now, let me just say something before I go forward. A lot of times when we think about trouble, we think about the devil. We think about the enemy. We think about what the enemy's doing to us. But a lot of times God will use trouble, if you will, to try to get us from going wayward, from going away from Him. He will put a boundary up around us. And I could read you all the way throughout the Old Testament where that happened. And when Israel done wrong, God would begin to do things to Israel that would get Israel to turn around, like putting a hook in their jaw or something like that, that would turn them back towards Him. Now, everything in our life that we would associate as trouble is not trouble, because God's trying to teach us a lesson. So in this particular set of scripture right here, if we're going to overcome trouble and to be at peace in our lives today, here's what we've got to do. We've got to learn how to trust in God's word. Excuse me, I said that wrong. We've got to be able to learn how to rest in God's word. There's a difference there, and I'll get into the other one later. Just rest. Rest. I mean, I know in my own life how times, and Sherry, she's back there. She didn't lay out. She's back there. I said earlier she would be in. But there have been times in my life. Have you ever woke up at 1 a.m. and you laid there in the bed? Then it was 2:30. Then you dozed off between 2:30 and 4:30. That happened to me like last weekend. I couldn't rest. I could not get settled. And God was talking to me. I preached a message about it. But there's times in our lives when we've just got to learn to rest in Him. Some things you can't fix. Some storms you have to weather. Come on now and help me. But what Joshua was told of God is found in this verse. When we look at this in this particular scripture here in verse number 5. He says, therefore shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now watch this. Watch this promise to Joshua. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I love this latter part. Somebody get a hold of this. Claim it as yours tonight. And God says, I will not fail you. Rest. Just take a deep breath and know that God is for you and not against you. And God told Joshua, hey, you've got to just rest and trust me. And he says that these promises, he said, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now watch this. He says in the scripture, again, when we look at him, we got to understand what God again was telling Joshua. Not only do we need to rest, I love this one. We've got to rely, R-E-L-Y. We've got to rely on God's promises. Somebody says, what book did you get this out of? I didn't. It's in my heart. We've got to rely on God's promises. In other words, seek the truth and wisdom from God and put our trust and our confidence and assurance in Him. Now look at this. I know that we read this verse of Scripture a lot. I rely on it a lot. It's probably my second favorite verses of Scripture out of the entire Bible. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 5. We need to learn this verse tonight. I don't know how many times, verses 5 and 6, I don't know how many times in my life I've had to rely on God and I've had to rely on this verse. And it says, trust in the bank. Trust in Ford Motor Company. Trust in the preacher. Trust in your choir director. Trust in your church clerk. Isn't it that we get so wrapped up in all the stuff, but we're still in trouble? Our lives are still in chaos. And people today that are filling their veins and filling their lives with drugs and alcohol and all kinds of mess, they're trying to stop the anguish. They're trying to soothe their soul. And the only place that they'll ever get that is by putting their trust in God. Sorry, I'm hollering on a Wednesday night. I don't know if that's illegal or not, but I'm hollering. I'm sorry. But he says, trust. Put our faith, put our confidence, put our absolute trust in the God that cannot fail. We've got to rest in Him, but we've also got to rely on Him, which means confidence and assurance. And when we look at this, we see this. Hold that one for just a minute. I'm going to read Joshua 1 and 6, but I want to go back to that one. He says, be strong and of good courage. Get some gusto. Get some, I know who God is about you. Get some things that David got. David said, I've been young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, or a seed begging bread. But the point I wanted to make is that God has never left you or forsaken you. He told the disciples, I will be with you always. And if we really believe God's word, if we really rely on God's word, we cling to God's word and we know that God is for us and God is not against us. And God told Joshua, you've got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He said, be strong and be of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance. You've got to have determination. The proverb actually says there in 3 verses 5 and 6. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart, thine heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Verse 6 says, when you do this, in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Go back to verse 5. We're going to read it together. Because he opens up in verse number 5 and he says, read it with me. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. The next verse, in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. So we can see here again that Joshua was told that you've got to rely on God. When we begin to look at this, we must understand that our faith is anchored in the words of the unfailing God. Did you hear that? That our faith is anchored, and this is not in my notes, but I gotta mention it, because we in our human ability is that faith is very fickle. By that, our faith seems to be conditional upon the environment that we're in at that time. But God says, yea and amen. God says, I am a God that I change not. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Who Joshua was talking to, he was talking to the great I am. Amen. The great I am, the God that never changed, that rescued Isaac from off the altar with the ram that was called into the bushes. Jehovah Jireh is in the house. And God still can today in the hour that we're living in. He is the I am God today. Not only is He the I am God, but He is the I can God. Not only is He the I am God or the I can God, I really like this one, because He is the I will God. Not a I may be God, but a I will God. Some of you believe this and some of you don't. I want us as a church to serve the I can and I will God. I want us as a church to get back in line with faith and know that God is still the God who cannot lie. Here's several verses for you about what happens when we trust in God, when we rely on God. When you look into the scripture, we understand this. And again, these are scriptures that we all know. They've been read before, but I wanted to read them again, that His promises are true. We look in John 14, verse number 1. I made mention of this a few days ago. When you look at this, this is exactly what that Jesus was saying to His disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be perplexed. Don't let your heart, again, as you look at this, be in strife or be in turmoil or be terrified or be filled with anguish over your adversity, over your adversary. Don't let your heart be so disturbed that it leads you to a state of anguish. Faith over fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. They tell me that the lion's roar can be heard from miles away. And if the king, we were at the zoo with the kids about a month or so back, and we kept hearing this lion, didn't we? It was a female lion, or a lioness, I guess you might call her. And she was over on the side of the field, and we didn't see no male lion anywhere. And I don't know that I'd ever heard a lion roar. We were probably maybe 50 to 75 yards through the trees around. We was down at Ashboro Zoo with the kids. And all of a sudden this lion roared. And you would have thought she was right beside me. Did we not? And we finally walked around through there, and we finally found her. And she was way out, probably 40, 50 yards from us. But her roar was very loud. And they tell me that the lions, one of the first things that a lion tries to do when he roars is to strike fear into his prey, if you will, trying to paralyze them with fear. And see, when the enemy comes at you, the enemy is going to say, you've got cancer. The enemy tells me all the time, your kids are going to die and go to hell. Your son's going to do this, or your daughter's going to do that. I've got to where I just stand, don't we? We stand on God's word. And I don't know what's going to happen in life with any of them. But I know one thing. I have tried my best to establish my mind and my heart, get it on the same page. And no matter what happened, Brother Jesse, I've got to hold on to the unchanging hands of God. I pray for my kids. I pray for the prodigals. But my friend, I pray that God would just turn them upside down and get a hold of them. Amen. But fear comes, and fear tries to grip us, and fear tries to tell us all kinds of things. You're going to die broke. It don't make no difference. You can't take nothing with you anyway. You're going to die without friends. You're going to this, or you're going to that. And he's always throwing all the fiery darts at us that he can. But my friend, we need to know that God can squinch every fiery dart of the wicked when we rely on him and we rest in him. And then we find out what John said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So we put the stake in the ground this evening that our faith is over our fears. Psalm 46:1, we understand that God is our refuge. We rely on him. God is my strength. I rely on him, a very present help in trouble. I rely on him. Brother Tim, he is my protector. Amen. He is our source. He is our reliance. Even in difficult and trying times. Why? Because we rely on a God that's got a perfect track record. And his track record says, I cannot fail. Come on and give him a praise in the house tonight. Somebody might say, well, Pastor Green, that sounds good, and I'm glad it's working out for you. No, it'll work for you. There have been many times I've cried. There have been many times I've laid awake, worried. She has too, tossed to and fro. Not only just over family, but over church, over things that I've had to pray through about, and God's had to walk and lead me and guide me and give me direction on. Not just at Thomasville. Remember, I've pastored two other churches. And I've done this for 30-something years. And don't tell me they've not been anguish. Don't tell me that Brother Dodd testified with me. Don't tell me as a pastor, Brother West, you've pastored, haven't you? Don't tell me that they've not been times as a pastor that you can be enthroned around people. You could be walking through your own valley. And Brother Bob, you know this to be the truth. And you can feel like you're the loneliest person in all the world because you feel like you have no friends, even though you're encircled around so many people. But yet David said that God is near the brokenhearted because we rely on him. Let me find my place. When we think about this evening, we can see Isaiah 41:10. We know this very well. Isaiah 41:10, this is what the Word of God begins to say. He says here in the Word, fear thou not. I love this. For I am with thee. Somebody needs to hear me tonight. Fear thou not. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Don't have your life filled with confusion and conflict. For I am thy God. My God, I felt that. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. God will strengthen you and God will help you. And God says, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I know in other places it says that God will make you the head and not the tail. Maybe you feel like in your life that you've been the laughing stock of society, but it don't make no difference. God is for you. Our abilities, my friend, comes from Him, and as we stand for Him, we rely on God, because it is not God's will or God's plan to bring conflict upon us. Did you hear that? That we will rely upon God because it is not God's will or God's plan to bring conflict upon us. Jeremiah reminded us of this. He reminds us that God's thoughts towards us in Jeremiah 29 and 11 says these words. I love the opening of this verse. For I know. Aren't you glad He's an I know God? He even told the disciples, I know even how many hairs is upon your head. There's not a sparrow falls from the sky. I'm going to tell you, that's an I know God right there. That's an I know God. That's a God that's in tune with the feelings of your infirmities. That's a God that knows how to deliver you. As the Bible says, at all points He was tempted just like you and I. But with that temptation, He made a way of escape. That's an I know God, not an I think so God. But He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Wow, saith the Lord. Not thoughts of destruction, not thoughts of turmoil, not thoughts to destroy. But yet He says His thoughts of peace. This is one of those times in the service where you can take a really, really, really deep breath and let it out real slow. And the reason I say that is because a lot of times I have to do that, Brother Tim. I have to just get to a place where I just have to settle myself. Put my faith in God, trust in God, know that He's got it handled, take a deep breath, and just give it to Him. Because God says, I know my thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So when we look at this, we understand again what Joshua was going through. Several different things throughout Joshua. Not only did they have to rely, not only did they have to rest, but He told them again, the third thing is simply this. You must not resist. Don't resist. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. There are times in our lives that it would be easier to run. There would be times in our lives that it would be easier to be like the guy that went down into the belly of the whale for a few days of vacation. His name's Jonah. It'd be easier to go and run for a few days, but yet God knew where Jonah was the whole time. God requires of us that we do not resist. When Israel was being told of Joshua, He gave them the instruction, several verses of scripture that I wanted to read again in this book of Joshua. We see this in verse number 6 and following. He says, be strong and be of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Verse number 7, look at this. This is where he's reiterating over again. This is what he's saying. He says, only be thou strong, very courageous, that thou do that thou mayest observe to do. There's where I got the word resist. God's trying to bless us, but yet in the process of time, it seems like when oppositions begin to come our way, it is so easy for us to retreat. Now I'm talking spiritual terms there. When we talk about serving the Lord, when it talks about being in obedience to God, when it talks about becoming His servant, when it talks about becoming His follower, it's a lot easier sometimes to live for the world for a season anyway. But yet we've got to resist that temptation. The Bible says there in Romans 1, Romans 12, and this is one of the things I come across today, because He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, that thing that is acceptable unto God. And then He said, this is your reasonable service. God knew Joshua. I feel like God knew Joshua. And the first thing they would have wanted to do is put boots on the ground going in the opposite direction. It's not always easy in conflict. But he says again in verse number 7, only be strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Look at this next thing. He says, turn not from it to the right or to the left, and thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The next thing is, understand that God has the resources, another R. So we've talked about rely, we've talked about rest, we talked about rely, we talked about resist. Now we talk about resource. When you look in Philippians 4 and 19, we know the scripture very well. It's a promise to the people of God. He said, but my God could supply. No. It says, but my God may supply. No. It says that my God shall. God will do it. He says that God shall supply all your need. I read yesterday in devotion, morning devotion, as I'm reading the Bible through. I got to that place in Kings where it was talking about Elijah. And he was going over there to this place called Zarephath. There was a woman that was making a little cruise of oil and a little few sticks and a little sun and all that. And God told through him, he said, to tell that lady to go make mine first. And I thought to him when I read that, I've always thought that, who does this stingy preacher think he is to go tell me to make him something before I eat and before my son eats? I knew all preachers were stingy. I've always thought that. It's no, he's teaching you an element of obedience to God. And if you'll do as God has told you to do, and all the time, go back and read that. And all the time, what does it say, Brother Dodd, that the cruise did not wither. It did not go away. I could just imagine her doing a shout every time she went in there. Brother Tim went and got that little cruise of oil. He's still faithful. I'm relying on him. He's still faithful. I've just got to trust him. I've just got to rest in him. And then this last source, we got to understand that God is our resource. I believe when he continued to talk to Joshua, when you begin to read through Joshua chapter number 1, I believe several times we've got to understand, because he tells him again in verse number 9, where we read earlier, he said, have I not commanded thee, be strong and be of good courage, not afraid, neither be dismayed. Now look at this. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. I love that, don't you? Philippians 4:19 says this. And then we're going to read a few verses. He says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus. Following him. Whatever your need may be, whether it be a physical need, emotional need, a psychological need, whether it be food or raiment. And I have to tell you the truth. I've not always had everything I've wanted, but I always have had everything I needed. From the time I quit my job on Friday at Pepsi, long, long time ago, God had dealt with me, and God had dealt with me, and I really felt like it was a God thing, and I was real young by then. I mean, I was way real young back then, and I'd never done anything like that. I had two small kids, I had a wife, I had a small church, and I had, you know, it's like, I'd argue with God about it. I mean, you know, finally I just said, okay. I talked to Brother Black about it. I mean, I sat in Ben Black's office for 2 hours and talked to him and told him every reason in the world why God, I wanted to do this, every reason in the world. And I expected, and I've told you this before, I expected that man to tell me something so deep theologically that it would just ooze out of me. You know what Ben Black told me after I sat there 2 hours, Sandra? You know what he said? Just a few words. He said, well, I suggest you get busy then. Jesse, that was it. You knew Brother Black. That was it. Now, looking back on it, I know why he did that. He was a very wise man. because he didn't want to tell this young whippersnapper, yeah, you need to go ahead and quit your job, and you need to go ahead and... No, that man was smart, because I would have always accused Ben Black of saying, that man right there told me to... I went to the pastor's office, Wayne Moore, when I was trying to pray through about being called to preach. I never preached. I didn't know nothing about preaching. I didn't know nothing about pastor. I knew nothing about anything. I was just a tobacco-chewing redneck. I mean, seriously, that loved to weld. I mean, that was my goal. That was my future. I mean, that's all I wanted to do, and love Sherry. I mean, that was really all I wanted to do. God did this. I went to Wayne Moore, and I said, Brother Moore, this is how I said, Patricia, I said, can you tell me how I'll know I'm called to preach? He said, I can't tell you that. Another thing, I wanted something profound, brother. Huh? But it didn't happen. So I had to just trust God with it. Sometimes it's not in the wind and it's not in the rain and whatever else that Elisha was told. It's just in that little small voice. Maybe you're looking for something profound. Maybe you're looking for, you know, a raven to come your way tonight. Ravens come in a lot of different forms and fashions. But I said all that to say this. I was 27 when I started the church that we started. I was 22 when I started preaching. 27 when I started that church. And I can honestly tell you, he's always took care of me. Honestly. There again, may not always have what I want. And I don't always need what I want, because what I want may not be what I need. But what I need, he's always supplied. And God is faithful. When he was telling, again, Joshua, we look in verse number 15, and this is what the Lord told him over there, and he said, as you look at this, Joshua 1:15, and they answered, verse 15, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then you shall return into the land of your possession. Look what he says. And enjoy it. Ain't that good? Which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sun rising. Verse 16, and he says, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest, we will go. Verse 17, according as we have hearkened unto all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord our God will be with us, as he was with Moses. Verse 18, and whetherso he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Wow. And he says, only be strong and of good courage. The last place I want to mention is that Paul, in Paul's personal experience, as we look at Paul, and we can see that even Paul understood the things of God and delivering him out of all of their troubles. We can look in 2 Corinthians 11. I don't know how much of this I'm going to read. I'm going to just read part of it. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, we can see that Paul himself went through great anguish and he went through great troubles. He says this in verse number 23. If you look at this in 2 Corinthians 11. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant. Look at Paul's life in stripes, above measures. Sounds fun, don't it? I didn't think so. You don't get too many people saying amen about stripes, do you? In prison, more frequently than death. Oft. Death threats, often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. Five different beatings that Paul endured. Five. When you look at that, it says, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day. I have been in the deep. And we say, I want to preach like Paul. I don't want to go through what Paul went through.
No.
But Paul had faith in all of his troubles. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of heather, in dangers is what he's saying. Dangers in the city, in dangers in the wilderness, in dangers in the sea, in dangers of false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watching often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. And you thought you were the only one who went through anything. I've thought that before. Hello. I'm not going to go into it, but at one time in my life, I thought that I was the only Church of God pastor in the whole entire Church of God that had wayward children. I tell you flat-footed 100%, I believe that, and I thought that. At one time, because I thought the Church of God was so perfect, that every pastor was so perfect, and I could not live up to the standard of everything that I seen around me, I forgot that I was living in a real world. And you can ask that little lady sitting right back there. I was hard on my kids, and I made them walk the chalk line. And both of them, my friend, still have struggles over the way that I raised them at the time, because I was more into legalism and doing what the Church of God told me to do than I was showing them a loving, caring daddy that loved them regardless, and that I was trying to please more people than I was pleasing my kids. You say, well, is that your regrets? Oh, yeah, absolutely, 100%. I still struggle with that. Because it's not about all the rules and regulations. It's about coming into a relationship. If I would have spent as much time with my kids trying to teach them about the loving Heavenly Father and about Jesus Christ and about loving Him, more than I did trying to teach them all the regulations and all the rules and pleasing all the people that was around them, maybe it would have worked out different. I don't know. God's still going to bring them in, though. I know that. I'm believing God for that. I've just learned to let rest and rely on God, trust in Him, and trust His resources. And then this last thing, Paul was saying, that where Paul went through all this turmoil, look at this. Romans, we're going to turn there for just a minute, and then we're going to be done. Romans chapter 8, and I will get back to Romans chapter 8 a little bit later on, but I really felt like the Lord put this on my heart. Romans 8 and 31. He says in Romans 8 and 31, he says, what shall we say to these things? Watch this, somebody. If God be for us, who? Not what, but who? Who can be against us? If God's for you, friend, I'm gonna use a word right here. It don't matter who is against you. Now, I'm not talking about sinful things and all that. When Peter was there in Acts chapter number 12, and he went through all the gates, and I read that this morning too, not knowing I was going to mention it. And he went through the iron gate that leads to the city, and he got free from all the expectations of the Jews and the people. I heard Jensen Franklin preach that one time, and he says, you can't get free until you get free from all the expectations of the people. Because people's always going to expect of you, and people's always going to put their convictions off on you. People's always going to think you have to be just like them if you're right with God. Yeah. All of that might have its place. But more than anything, if you're going through trouble tonight, if you're going through turmoil tonight, if you're going through anguish tonight, if you're going through any of these events tonight, just know that God is for you. God was for Joshua, and Joshua was delivered. And if we look back at this text, I didn't preach the text out of the book of Psalms. But yet, verse 6 says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Then Paul, that went through everything that Paul went through, he come back in verse 31. He says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, then who can be against us? And he picks this up in verse number 35, and he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress or trouble, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. I just read to you out of 2 Corinthians everything that Paul went through. But here's the thing. Paul still was reporting victory in Rome, even though he had went through all that he had went through. Now, on a chronological timeline, I don't know where Paul was at this time chronologically. But Paul had already went through a lot. We no doubt about that, because Paul was saying these very words. He says, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. How many of you want to be like Paul? Not me. But he says, we are counted as sheep before the slaughter. But I love verse number 37. And he goes back and he says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are more than overcomers through him that loved us. Is there any overcomers in the house? You may have trouble. You may have storms. You may have trials. You may have temptation. But my friend, hold on to the unchanging hand of God. I feel like I need to tell you, you don't see the end. You don't see what God has planned. God's going to get you through it. God's going to get me through it. Because he's faithful. And God wishes no ill on nobody in this room. We beat ourselves up more than God beats us up. We fall under condemnation of all kinds of things. But God says that there's no more, Romans 8 and 1, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So let me say this. Live for God. Quit being hard on yourself. Quit beating yourself up. And put your trust and faith in God and serve him faithfully every day. And tell the devil to shut up. That's about four of you. Rest of your head that way and you'll need that eventually. If you've not already went through it. I've been there, friend. I've been there when I felt like Brother Tim, if I can use the terminology, the hounds of hell was on my heel. And I didn't know what to do. The only thing I know to do when it comes to that place in my life is to do what James says. I think it's James 4. You don't need to turn there. I think it's James 4 and 7. He says, to submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Who does the Bible say resist? Not God, but resist the devil. Submit yourself therefore unto God. The greatest way to your victory is on your knees. Humble yourself before the Lord, and in due time, he will lift you up. Closing verses right here. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My friend, the Lord is here to deliver you from out of all of your troubles. I hope I didn't waste my time tonight. I hope that, I'm not saying that we're going through trouble. I don't like troubles. God knows I don't. But it is good to know, Sandra, when you go through troubles, that God's right there with you. Would you stand with me tonight? I want to take just a moment, if you will, tonight. I want you just for a moment to think about your own life. Think about the times that God has been faithful to you. Think about the times that God has brought you through. Think about the times that you have had troubles in your own life. And if it had not been for God, where would you be tonight? You're looking over your life right now. You're thinking of things right now. You're thinking of situations right now that you've been through. Times in your life you didn't know what to do. Times in your life you didn't know which way to turn. I want you just to take a moment to thank him, because he's a God that never failed you. I want you to raise up your hand tonight and just give God a thanks. And say, Lord, I thank you. You've never left me. You've never forsaken me. You've not let me down. God, you've always been faithful. You're a God that I can rely on. You're a God that I can rest in. You're a God of my resources. And God, you're a God of my renewal. And that's the one I didn't tell you, the last one, the R, renewal. When you took Paul the apostle up out of the horrible pit that he was in, and God, you renewed him. And he said, and Paul said that I know that I'm more than a conqueror. That God renewed him, and I believe that they that will mount up with wings like eagles, and God will renew our strength. We may run, we may walk, and we may be weary, we may be out of breath, but God is going to sustain us, God is going to renew us, and God is going to get us through. Father, I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you for the word of the Lord that's in this house. Father, I thank you, God, that even right now, God, that you have spoke to my heart. You have spoke to my life tonight, and God, I do not believe that this message will fall upon deaf ears. I believe tonight, God, that it is falling on good ground, and I believe, God, that it's going to bring forth a harvest in due season. Now, Lord, may you bless us. May you keep us. May you, Lord, allow your face to shine upon us. And God, would you give us peace in all of our endeavors? Would you touch us tonight, Lord, and help us through it all? Father, we rely on you. We put our trust in you. We put our confidence in you. Now, Father, that one tonight that's struggling, that one tonight, whether they're listening on the internet or whether they're here in this room, I pray, Father God, right now that you would touch them. I pray, God, that you, Lord, as I've already mentioned, that you'd let them mount up with wings like eagles. Run and not be weary, walk and not grow weary, and God, that they will run, and Lord, that they will not, Lord, faint. Lord, I pray your blessings over every person in this room. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all the people of God said, amen. I pray that something's been said tonight in this room to encourage you, to get you on your path the rest of this week. Let you know that God is for you and not against you. Amen. Let's give the Lord a great big praise before we leave tonight. Amen. God bless you. Shake hands. Come out friendly in Jesus' name.